Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Oh, boy. Stephen St. John and Nate Picati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. Today on the show, we're going to have WWE superstar Liv Morgan, who's in town for Monday Night Raw tonight at T-Mobile Center. Let's go. Todd Lebo at 7:30, who oddly enough is also in town for WWE Monday Night Raw. He'll be with us at 7:30 until 8:30. That's when former Major League pitcher Scott Carroll stops by the show. Going to talk to Bill Moss, see what he had to say about the Christian Okoye roast of Duron Cherry yesterday at Voodoo Lounge at Harrah's Casino. And then Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News, who is a king of the draft. He will break down the Chiefs draft for us that took place over the weekend. So we got lots to talk about. Yeah. I want to thank all the people that I had a chance to rub elbows with over the weekend. I had a lot of great listeners stop by the Deck Supply in Overland Park on Friday from 11 until 1. And so that was very nice. Met a lot of great listeners out of the Kid Fire Classic charity golf tournament that I emceed right after that on Friday afternoon with my man, former professional boxer and current KCMO firefighter Craig Cummings, who was my trainer, who was a fantastic fighter. And now a hell of a trainer and raising money for the gym that he trains out of, Garrison Boxing Club, and does a lot of great stuff for kids in the community. And so it was great to be out there to help them raise some money. And then on Saturday, I was honored to MC the Challenge Your Fashion event to benefit the Challenger programs for the YMCA. And co-MC that with our friend Jillian Carroll, and had Mike Boddicker and his wife Lisa and Tim Grenhard and his wife Sarah at our table, and they were both participants in the fashion show. Also, shout out to Les Norman, host of Breaking the Norm, who also walked the runway. I spent some quality time with Ike Opara, had a chance to hang out with him for a while. Couple of players, current players from the KC Current, were also in it. Several Chiefs cheerleaders, Roger Espinoza, great people that came together. And let me tell you, there's two things it's hard to do to me. Number one, it's hard to surprise me, and number two, it's hard to get me. Leave me without words, to leave me speechless. And before it was my time to go up there and announce the fashion show with Jillian, they called me up on stage and made a special presentation. And, man, they got me. I did not know that was going to happen. I didn't realize it was my 10th year in a row doing the Challenger Fashion. And so they had a football that was in a beautiful case. It was signed by all the Challenger athletes. And then all the rest of the athletes that participated. And they said some really nice things. And what got me the most is they put a collage of pictures up over the last 10 years up on the big screen. And there's, like, pictures of the twins, I mean, 10 years ago. And Phil and Richie and all through the years. And there's a picture of Nate yelling. My buddy Sam, we just had a little bit of everything, you know. Susan, it was, and I just saw it. I was like, I didn't know it was going to happen. So that was awesome. And then, of course, as I mentioned yesterday, I emceed the Christian Okoye roast of Duron Cherry, and that was cool. That was awesome. He had a lot of videos that were sent in by former teammates and peers in the NFL, and then some great guest speakers. Dan Salimua spoke. Barry Word spoke. Touchdown Teddy McKnight spoke. Duran got up and spoke, obviously. Christian Okoye. So that was awesome. We had an autographed guitar signed by Taylor Swift. We had two of them. What do you think the guitar went for? There's been back and forth, and then as we do sometimes, we unveil the fact that we have two of the guitars, and so as the two people are at a bidding wars, hey, how about this? You both get one. You willing to bid this amount? Yep. Okay. Good. What do you think the guitar went for? Is it just an acoustic guitar with her picture on it? You know, kind of a small acoustic guitar, but, you know, her autograph. What do you think?
$1,000.
What do you say, Jay? Oh, really?
Yeah. Trying to think of what Todd Lebo paid for his.
That was a raffle.
Oh, yeah, that was, wasn't it?
Right.
So, let's say $3,000.
$12,000.
That's way off.
So, $12,000 times two, so we got $24,000 for the two guitars.
That's awesome.
It is awesome, but that's more. I guessed my dad and I, because my dad was there yesterday at the roast. My dad and I guessed $5,000 or $6,000, because there were eight. There were some heavy hitters in that crowd, but $12,000, that was astonishing to me. So, but the point is, it was a very busy weekend. That's why my voice is kind of here and kind of there. But man, did I get a chance to meet a whole bunch of people that claim to listen to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB, and it was an honor to spend some time talking to each and every one of them. And if you're out there listening, thank you for coming up and saying hello to me. I appreciate it. That was great. And everybody, wherever I went, asking, what did you think of the first round pick? What did you think of the rest of the draft? What did you think of this? What did you think of that? Man, exciting stuff. Not that it matters. Not that it matters. Remember, just always remember that there were people out there giving the Patrick Mahomes pick a C. You know, there's a C+. So, take that for what it's worth. But all of the draft pundits love it. Because, you know, they get married to their rankings and they want to be proven right. And then the Chiefs, if you go, I mean, certainly in the first, four or five rounds, they got tremendous value based on what was thought of these guys going in. Especially, I mean, we had Jesse Newell in studio on Thursday. I mean, Jesse knows what he's talking about. Jesse covers the team. Jesse invests a lot of time researching the draft and talking to people within the organization and outside of the organization and trying to put two and two together based on need, based on fit, and based on availability. And, I mean, the offensive tackle that they took out of BYU in the second round, that's who Jesse had mocked to the Chiefs in the first round. So I'm going to guess Jesse thought it was a pretty good pick in the second round. And he wasn't the only one. There were a lot of people that the Chiefs, that had the Chiefs linked to him in the first round. I mean, I don't know what else you want. If they would have taken him in the first round, they would have stayed at 32 and taken him in the first round, would anyone have been mad? Like, hey. That's a guy Jesse said they're going to pick. That's a guy that's been mocked to them in several drafts. That looks like the left tackle of the lifelong boxer, by the way, because so he can throw hands. Credits boxing for a lot of his toughness and footwork. So there we go. And so if you're going to tell me, and that was a name that we had written down, we were looking at. It's a strong possibility in the first round. If you're telling me that the Chiefs not only filled a need at wide receiver, but got a left tackle of the future that several people had projected that they might draft in the first round, what do you got to say bad about that? What the hell could be wrong with that? I mean, that's terrific. I mean, I think we were all in on them going out and trying to get the tight end of the future, Travis Kelce's eventual replacement. I don't even want to say that. I'm not putting a time limit on Travis Kelce. Just a guy that can come in there and be another weapon and learn under Travis Kelce for a couple of years. And it looks like that's what they got in Jared Wiley, the tight end out of TCU. Our man Dane Brugler, how are we progressing with Dane Brugler? Because I don't want to keep mentioning, do you think it'll happen? Do you think he's stiff-armed you enough to where now the draft's over and he thinks you're going to leave him alone? Do you think he honestly wants to come on the show?
He committed last week, and then he came down with a case of strep throat. And okay. Then he said, I have to rest my voice for next weekend. He was supposed to come on a week ago from today.
Do Monday. You believe he will come on the show this week?
Yeah, he's been on the show. I think I have a pretty good relationship with him.
Okay.
I mean, he's been on before. I've gotten on. I mean, it wouldn't be an impossible task. It's happened. History has proven that
there have been guests that have been on the show that will never come on the show again for one reason or another.
Well, yeah, so
that's what we don't want to.
Well,
you know,
you don't need to throw names out,
right?
There,
but I don't know. Like I don't always know what goes on in these conversations and how they feel about coming back on the show. I can only go on your word.
Usually, the case in those instances are those guys who have made it with major networks and have busy schedules and doing local radio has moved beyond them for the most part.
There have been some guys that we thought would never come back on the show that have come back on the show.
There's some people that I've never wanted to come back on the show that have come back on the show. And I've looked at the rundown and I've been genuinely surprised. Like, why is this person coming back on the show?
Does that happen with me?
There's a... Well, it wasn't your fault. It was a guest that was given to us.
Ah.
You know, recently.
Yes. Okay, yes. Yeah, yeah.
There's
Schwartz's nemesis.
Yeah. Yes. there's a newly added person to that list that I texted you last week, and I said, do not ever book him on the show again.
Sure.
Ever. Is that right?
That is.
And what was your response?
Yes, sir.
He won't be on the show again, will he? See? So it's a living, breathing thing. And so, but I like Dane Brugler a lot. And so I just wanted to make sure everything was good with Dane Brugler because he's one of my favorite draft experts. So we're good?
We should be.
Sounds like he really loves at least one of the picks the Chiefs made.
I have all the confidence in the world.
That's what scares me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The overconfidence sometimes rattles me, you know?
I can send you our dialogue.
But he loves the Jaden Hicks pick, the safety out of Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. All right. Again, a value pick that I saw him, a lot of people had him going as high as the second round. And, you know, we're talking about a value pick. And sure, they could use another safety. Mike Edwards was a very important piece of this defense last year. Okay? And so, was it their biggest pressing need? No. But you need him. They got him at 133. Dane Brugler had him graded as the 39th overall prospect. Dane Brugler, and again, it's one guy. He writes for The Athletic. He comes out with my favorite draft publication, The Beast. He had him rated as the best safety in the class.
By the way, every player that was drafted was mentioned in The Beast. So there wasn't anybody like, oh, well, this came out of nowhere. This, you know, because you'll have that occasionally.
Dane Brugler had him ranked as the number 39 overall player in the draft. Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the number 54 player in the draft. And Daniel Jeremiah had him rated as the number 78 player in the draft. And the Chiefs got him at 133. Oh, I mean, all right. you could pick things apart, but if you're Dane Brugler, Pro Football Focus, Daniel Jeremiah. And I mean, As far as national guys, I think Dane Brugler and Daniel Jeremiah are the two guys I pay attention to the most, I think. I mean, what about you guys? Who are you go-to guys? I think Brugler and Jeremiah are the two that I trust most, that I enjoy most, I think.
Jeremiah is probably my number one, you know, the mock draft I pay most attention to. And yeah, Brugler's great, too. I mean, I love both of their in-depth work.
I mean, obviously, I'm a big Mel Kiper Jr. fan, as you know. But
of course you are.
Outside of that.
Nick.
But, I mean, that's,
Steve,
you know.
Brugler's great. And I listen to Daniel Jeremiah's podcast religiously. He's awesome. So I'm on board.
I mean, that's some serious value. Serious value.
Yeah. And I'm with you. They can use safeties. I mean, it seems like safety gets hurt every year for the Chiefs. You know, you need depth.
I mean, Cook's coming back from a bad injury. They lose Mike Edwards. I mean, you can never have enough offensive linemen, we've learned, and I'm glad that they added several in this draft. And you just you can't have enough defensive backs. I mean, you never complain about having too many defensive backs.
Right.
You know? And, I mean, then you look, you scoot down a little bit down to the fifth round, Hunter Norzad. You look at him, and it's really easy to put two and two together. And they go, okay, they drafted him to replace Nick Allegretti. And that's good business, because you can call Nick Allegretti a backup, but Nick Allegretti was a starter that just happened to not have a spot on this team as a starter. But then you were reminded when he had to step in the postseason play, like, oh, he's good enough to be a starter. And he knew it too, and that's one of the biggest reasons why he got a nice contract and left for a different opportunity, because not that he didn't love it here in Kansas City, and I've talked to him several times, he's a great guy, and did love it in Kansas City, but he wanted to start. You know, he's won his championships. He felt like, you know, this is his best years right now. He peaked. He's peaking right now. Go get you a fat contract and go start. And that's great for him, but that leaves a hole for the Chiefs. Now, it's, you know, again, you could say there's more pressing needs, because when you're talking about, you know, just filling in your, when you get into the reserves, it's pretty nice that, you know, you've got other things taken care of where you can look at that in the draft. But it's important, because he can play anywhere in the interior offensive line. He can play center, and he can play either guard position. So he gives you quality depth. And Nick Allegretti was a tremendous security blanket for this football team. And so now, hopefully, that's what they got in Hunter Norzad. It's not sexy, but it's value. It's important. And so, and then even down the road, you've got some options there. If he shows that he's good enough to play guard in the NFL, and then down the road, if the Chiefs can't keep both Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, is he the eventual replacement for Trey Smith? If they, you know, a lot of people have mentioned, well, they should move Creed Humphrey to guard. I'm still not totally on that bandwagon, but if they did, you got a guy that can play center here now. Gives you flexibility, gives you versatility. So, and we could talk about the other players, but those are the things that really stood out to me. It was the board fell to them in a way where they were able to capitalize and not only fill needs, but get some real value based on big boards across the NFL landscape. And again, Does that mean this is going to turn out to be an A? No. We've had plenty of examples of players that others criticized for the Chiefs selecting, and they turned out to be great picks. So that's not the end-all, be-all. But we have enough evidence, we have enough body of work from Brett Veach to believe that this is going to be a pretty good damn, you know, pretty damn good draft. And you look at it and you see what they did. Now, and we can get into the undrafted free agents because there's a couple of them that look really, really good that we could talk about. What didn't they get that I wish they would have addressed? Would have loved to see them address the defensive line and another defensive lineman. Looks like they might have got a guy and is an undrafted free agent that might have a chance. I mean, other than that, there really wasn't anything else that left me thinking, damn, why didn't they pick that position? Just defensive line. That was it. I mean, they got a wide receiver. You could say running back, but I don't, you know. I'll be honest with you, the only thing that made me mad, and you guys know what it's going to be, is in the seventh round, I wanted them to pick Cody Schrader. And it made me mad that I did, and I hope C.J. Hansen turns into a good utility offensive lineman and serves his purpose on this team. But I wanted Cody Schrader. He didn't get drafted. And then it made me even angrier that he went to the 49ers because his chances of succeeding went way up. Because you can say what you want about the 49ers. You know, well, the Chiefs beat them twice in the Super Bowl. Blah, blah, blah. Well, they had to get to the Super Bowl twice for the Chiefs to beat him there, right? So my point, they know what they're doing. They know what they can churn out some offensive talent.
Yeah, they know how to put the running backs into good positions.
Yeah, but they also know how to identify those running backs who fit into what they want to do.
Yep.
And so that when the 49ers signed him as an undrafted free agent, I was like, of course they did. Well, sure they did. And that made me happy for Cody Schrader because if he's not going to come to the Chiefs, because the kid is such a great story and you root for him and you want him to succeed, or most people want him to succeed, you think, you know, where can he go to succeed? 49ers. I mean, can't you just see him? Can't you see a guy or two getting hurt and then he gets a start on any given Sunday? And, boy, can you believe it? Undrafted free agent Cody Schrader had 112 yards and a touchdown for the 49ers on Sunday. How did this kid not get drafted? Led the SEC in rushing, and you know, you can see the whole thing playing out.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so, hey Todd, thanks for coming to distract Jake in the next segment too. Would you? We were just getting ready to break. don't wait for the commercial. Why wait for the commercial? Right when we're talking about something, I needed his feedback on. Just dig in.
You always have my. I'm always listening.
Admit it, that bothered you as well. Admit it.
I did, yeah. I wish they would have taken him.
But didn't it also, like, the 49ers?
That was the worst part, yeah, like you said.
Yeah.
It increased his probability of being successful.
It made me feel better about how I feel about him because the 49ers are really, really, really smart.
Yeah, I was super disappointed the Chiefs weren't able to sign him.
Yeah.
He's going to fit great in that system, too.
Sure he will.
I mean, that's...
Well, nobody's going to outwork him.
Pretty good running back to sit behind, too. You learn a lot from that guy, McCaffrey.
Of course. And that, you know.
And McCaffrey's got a history of getting hurt. So, you know, the chances could be there. But they like to spread it around there a little bit anyway. So, that's a good spot for him. Really good spot
good
for him.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. I'm very excited about the Chiefs draft. So, we'll get more into that. And that's the headline. Other things happen in the world of sports, but me being all around Kansas City, being able to talk to, I feel like I talked to everyone in the city this weekend. Draft, 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 draft. I was surprised more people didn't bring up the Royals. I know the Royals lost the series to the Detroit Tigers over the weekend, but still. Draft, 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 draft. Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs. And why wouldn't you? So, there you go. We got Nate Bucati back. Jake's kind of paying attention. Feels like it's off to a strong start on this Monday. Let's go. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Shoot. A lot of emotions, a lot of crying. Since that waiting around period, I never knew what all the boys meant by that waiting period until your phone gets called and it just feels like peace, like you can breathe again. So I was just waiting around, and shoot, my agent texted me and said, hey, Chiefs just traded up. And I looked at my phone, and next phone call I see, I was like, oh, no way. So I just felt relieved and just crying a lot. Just going back like through memories of, you know, all the sacrifices everybody put in around the room in my room that was here in this conference room. So there's a lot of emotion, but so grateful and so ready to be a Chief. So
Brett Veach traded up one spot to get his future left tackle because he absolutely cannot help himself. And that's what we like. Stop predicting him to trade down. Stop it. I kind of like the idea he might trade down. Do you know who you're talking about? Hey, Brett, we're up next. We don't really need to trade. We don't need to do what? Okay, then. We just traded up one spot. All right, then. Thank you.
Hey, man, he sees his guys and he gets them.
Whether he needs to or not, that's what I like. Screw it.
I don't know if I've ever seen that before. Just one spot.
What's the problem?
Nothing. It's just great. It's like, okay.
You'd be complaining about that.
I'm not.
That
aggressiveness. I think it's great.
Attack mode.
Get your guy, man.
I just can't believe the teams that are willing to still trade with him.
All right, play-by-play, man. Go ahead and give us the perfect pronunciation of the new left tackle.
Oh, man. I like this one.
Go ahead.
Kingsley Suamataia.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Say it again.
Suamataia.
Yeah. I think so. Jake, let's hear it. No, yeah, no, Jake, do not. Jake, play like something.
Kingsley Suamataia.
No.
Kingsley Suamataia.
Yep.
No.
I got it.
Play a different pronunciation, please.
I think there's a few syllables missing there.
Nope. I'm going with the jam chuck.
Suamataia.
Beast? How about just right. Beast?
Right.
I'm just going to call him Kingsley, yes.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Kingsley.
So Kingsley's a great name.
It is. It's a great name. You're right.
Suamataia.
Yeah. Suamataia.
He's got to keep working at it, that's all.
Suamataia.
It'll become second nature soon enough.
I believe with names like that, the biggest thing to remember is to pronounce all of the vowels. You know?
Suamataia. Is that it?
Yeah.
Suamataia.
Because there's that A-I-A at the end, A-E-A.
Kingsley Suamataia.
That's not it. Stop, please. Andy Reid told him that he was going to try to get him here. You know, Andy Reid likes those former BYU kids, right?
Probably got a pretty good scouting report on him.
Right.
He knows a few people up there.
And Jesse had put out the pronunciation before the pick was even made. He said, you never know with the draft, but just in case, here's a pronunciation guide. Kingsley Suamataia.
Yeah. I think we nailed it. Back-to-back Chiefs.
I think it's pretty close. Well, I'm looking forward to it's going to be interesting now. So, do you go with what you've got and just have a battle between a young and raw rookie and Wanye Morris, or do you still bring back Donovan Smith?
I mean, I guess it all depends on how ready they think Suamataia is.
Probably depends on what Donovan Smith wants as well.
So the answer is, it depends.
Is my choice? Probably not. I'm probably rolling the dice with Suamataia and Wanye Morris.
Yeah, the good thing about having Wanye Morris there is you feel like you have a bit of an insurance policy. Like if it takes Suamataia some time to acclimate to the NFL level. You've got a guy who's already got reps at that position in the past year. So I don't feel like you feel like, oh, man, we need coverage there. You got an insurance policy.
There was a free agent signing yesterday. I know there were some people out there that were hoping the Chiefs might consider Mekhi Becton, former first-round pick from the Jets. He was still out there. And so maybe this kind of helps you relate it to Donovan Smith. Becton got a one-year deal worth up to $5.5 million from the Philadelphia Eagles. Still only 25 years old, number 11 overall pick of the Jets back in 2020. But Donovan Smith might sit back and say, hey, I was a starting left tackle for you all year long and helped you win a Super Bowl. I deserve more than that guy. Right?
Yeah. But the Chiefs could say, but we don't need to pay you that.
Yeah. I don't know. It just depends on how you know, if they truly want it to be a competition or if they feel strong. And look, you can feel this way, but you still got to see him. You got to go through rookie minicamp. You got to go through training camp. You have to let him get back there, you know, get out there and compete to see if it's ready.
I would probably feel better if they did bring Donovan Smith in.
Yes.
But if it's...
It's got to be fiscally responsible.
What if the option is bringing back Donovan Smith or going out and getting another veteran wide receiver like Tyler Boyd or Hunter Renfrow?
I don't think they need that. I would take it. I mean, I'm not going to turn it down, but...
Especially with Rice being out probably 4 to 6.
I have to know what they think, though. If they think, hey, we love this rookie in offensive level, but he's not ready, and we're not going to throw him to the Wolves yet. You know, it's impossible to answer this without truly knowing what they think. If they feel like, you know what, we can go with him right away, or he can compete for a spot right away. And if they feel that good about him, that's one thing. But maybe they don't. Maybe they feel like, yeah, this is the left tackle of the future. He's our guy, but he's not our guy week one. And that's okay, too. Right? He doesn't have to start week one. If you're going to start complaining about that, and maybe that's just not in the cards. And maybe that's the right thing to do. Maybe they're going to develop him, and he will be the left tackle of the future. And in that case, it's more likely, it's more reasonable that you want to bring back Donovan Smith. I don't know.
Yeah, according to Spotrac, they have $19.2 million in cap space right now.
They can do what they need.
Yeah. So.
What about you? You going to say anything? You're just gonna...
I mean, Kingsley seems like a freak to me. You know, I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know how long it takes a guy to get NFL ready, but I'm ready to see him start at left tackle.
And that's a really tough task. It might be one of the toughest positions outside of quarterback to have a rookie come in and play.
I mean, it's just not athleticism. There's so much technique involved.
It's just the next level, and you're going against the best pass rushers in the league on that side. You look at I think we talked about it a little bit last week, the tackles that were drafted even in the first round last year, I mean, they all struggled. And I think the least amount of sacks that were given up all season by any of the first round draft picks was the kid from Pittsburgh, and he gave up 4 sacks. And Jesse did make a point. Patrick Mahomes, his mobility and his elusiveness and the ability to get away from a sack helps quite a bit. And Donovan Smith only allowed 2 sacks. So,
yeah.
I guess it
didn't feel like Donovan Smith was great. It didn't feel like he was bad.
No, I mean, he had
to be great.
He had a lot of penalties.
He can't be bad.
Right.
He didn't have maybe any. If he could sign it for a 1-year deal and that allows Suamataia to study under him for a year.
Yeah.
I would feel better about that.
He's young, too, right? Isn't that one of the big stories is that both the first 2 picks that the Chiefs took, not only do they have tremendous upside, they're young for this draft class, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
So, you know, that maybe gives you a little more leeway to say, hey, let's give him a year to develop some, you know, confidence, get his feet under him at the NFL level.
And the other part of the equation is, that, you know, how do they evaluate the reps from Wanya Morris last year and what he's done this offseason to improve?
Mm-hmm.
Are you comfortable with him holding the spot? Right?
Yeah. And we don't, I mean, we don't know what they, their internal evaluation is on that. He had his good moments and his bad.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're just, I see they knocked it out of the park with this draft. And they came in with a good situation where we felt like there were two positions they really needed to address. And they did that, and then they were able to sprinkle in some other players that'll probably end up contributing to the team down the road in a very positive way. You mentioned, you know, getting a safety that's that highly regarded. You know, one guy that I didn't hear you mention, at least this today, this Jaden Hicks, he seems like he's right in the profile of the kind of corners that they like to bring in. Big, strong, physical, can get...
Jaden Hicks is the
same. I'm sorry, I meant Kamal Hayden. I was looking at the wrong guy. But Kamal Hayden, you know, big, strong, physical guy that can play some press coverage. Seems like the kind of guy that they get value from at the cornerback position.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the secondary. They're good.
Yeah.
You know, and there's every reason to believe that they're going to get max production out of these two draft picks because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They have a long trail of success when it comes to drafting defensive backs in any round and developing them and turning them into players. And so why wouldn't you think that's going to happen with these two? We'll take a break back after this on WHB. I was looking at an article, the much too early draft big board for next year, to see where they had Luther Burden. And they had him at number 25, which infuriated me, but fine, he's still on it at Yahoo Sports. But Charles McDonald also had a lengthy write-up and graded everyone's draft. And so I said, okay, while I was just looking at this much early big board, let me take a look and see what Charles McDonald from Yahoo Sports had to say about the Kansas City Chiefs draft. And I will tell you, as I look at the AFC West for what Charles McDonald had, Denver Broncos, he gave a D, which is, you don't really usually see a grade that low. Everyone usually gets a B or C. He said, sorry, Broncos fans, no way to slice this. Broncos made some fantastic selections on the second and third days of the draft, but taking Bo Nix with the 12th overall pick is a head-scratcher. Nix wasn't a prospect who was highly in demand, and his ceiling appears limited in the NFL. And there were many teams that did not have him as a first-round grade. So, yeah. But Sean Payton feels as strongly about Nix as he did Patrick Mahomes and sees a lot of similarities.
He's
you know,
a good liar.
And some of the similarities that Sean Payton sees, they both have two arms. They both have feet. They both have ears.
Five fingers on each hand, I believe.
They both have hair. They both walk.
They both played college football.
Yeah. There are, so my apologies to Sean Payton. Many similarities. So
almost too many to count.
Yeah. Kansas City Chiefs, A. Hell of a draft for the back-to-back defending champs. They added elite game-breaking speed with their selection of Xavier Worthy in the first round and might have found a franchise left tackle in the second. Jared Wiley and Jaden Hicks were quality pickups in round four, and they took a couple of dart throws on the offensive line later on. Wiley has the potential to be the Chiefs' starting tight end after Travis Kelce moves on, showing rare movement and rare ability for a 6'6" player. Worthy. Say the name again. You got it down. Go.
Sua Mataia.
And Wiley may be cornerstones for the Chiefs' offense when this is all said and done.
That's the part, man. I mean,
he said of Sua Mataia, this was one of the best picks in the entire draft. He's not for anyone.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were slated to start Wanye Moore as a left tackle, prompting them to trade up for this immensely talented tackle. The BYU product is raw, but he's stout, incredibly strong, and has an NFL-ready body to keep pass rushers away from Patrick Mahomes while he works on his technique. He has attainable all-pro upside. This pick was awesome.
I mean,
that's, you know, that's heavy praise just from an NFL writer that's grading everyone's picks.
Yes.
Saying it was one of the best picks in the entire draft in any round. So
the two most important things you can find on offense for Patrick Mahomes is a tackle that you can have for an extended period of time and a weapon. A weapon that changes the way the defenses have to approach you. And the Chiefs have that weapon right now. They had two when they had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They have just had Kelce here last year, you know, he was banged up through the season. He became that weapon in the playoffs, which is all they needed to win the Super Bowl, but to put a weapon out there that makes the other side go, okay, we got to account for this guy. We got to change the way we play defense is so important for him to have going forward. I mean, they just...
Sua Mataia.
See, if we say it enough, it'll
Sua Mataia.
Who?
Sua Mataia.
Yep. What?
That's what I used to have to do.
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
That's how I used to study for tests.
Yeah.
But I'd try to, you know, try to remember answers and just repeat over and over again like I was crazy, which I am.
Repetition's
big. It would work.
I have to do that for a lot of names when I'm calling these soccer matches.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There's a lot of weird ones. Weird's not the right word. Different from what we're used to.
Well, you said these soccer players are weird.
Well, that's true.
No.
I just can't wait to see Worthy play with Mahomes.
Very pleased with this draft.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pumped about Wiley. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that pick,
I
too,
love
man.
That pick.
And then Jaden Hicks, too.
I love Wiley. I think a kid's going to be a stud.
No, that's what McDonald said. He said perhaps they just landed three cornerstones of this offense moving forward.
Thanks, Veach.
Thanks, Bills.
And you could certainly see, you know, Worthy and Wiley being able to have some type of impact right away.
Yes.
And hell, I mean, you know, I just, when you think about Andy Reid and the fact that he's a former offensive lineman, and that means something,
mm-hmm.
and the job that Andy Heck has done and everyone else, and you've seen how many different left tackles that they've won with.
Yeah.
Right in this stretch, count the left tackles. That it just gives you every reason to believe that this is going to work.
Right.
Right.
I'll be shocked if he's not a good left tackle.
Like if someone tells you know what, I'm not totally sold on, you know, with wide receivers they've drafted. I don't know, maybe I'm kind of skeptical. We'll see. Like, oh, you know,
yeah.
You can't say that about offensive linemen and defensive backs.
No.
They've shown you, you know,
there's
like, this
record.
Is what we do.
Yes.
You know, and you're hoping that they unlocked the door to success drafting wide receivers with Rashee Rice and now Xavier Worthy. He's just so fast. We'll take a break back into this on WHB.